Good morning. I want to thank the elders for assigning me to preach today. I thought when Nathan came in January that my preaching days were done. I hung up the PowerPoints, but thankfully it was a short retirement because I do enjoy being up here, and I know God has blessed me to be a part of this congregation, to have this opportunity because it really helps me grow. What I enjoy a lot from it is stewing on the things that I'm preparing, and there's a lot of things that I stew on. I stew a lot, but not everything is good, but when I've got something to focus on, it really helps me and encourages me and something that I need to do more. And I hope that as much as I've stewed on this lesson, you all will stew on it. Now I'm done saying stew. Okay. Y'all gonna call me my dad. Now, despite the topic, it might not be something you want to think of a lot, but who here likes to be hated? I don't see any hands. What? Nobody likes to be hated? Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point, and I'm glad nobody raised their hands, because it's not fun to be hated. Usually in the world, it implies a bad character or a perspective of a bad character. But it's an emotion that most of the world shares. When people have wronged them, when people don't believe the same things as them, husbands and wives can hate each other, kids growing up can hate their parents, but it's an emotion that contradicts God, because God is love, and all that he does is from love, so anything of hate is outside of God. And we know that in Matthew 5, Jesus tells us, he commands us not to hate our neighbor or even our enemy, but to love them. But while, as Christ followers, we are commanded to love, Jesus warns his apostles and disciples that the world will be ready to hate them. And so I want to look at primarily writings from John to learn how to cope with this hate, to understand it, and to press on as Jesus was telling his apostles, as he was telling his disciples. And I want to start in John 15, if you would like to turn there. John 15, starting in verse 18, Jesus says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have seen and hated both me and the Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering a service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you." And so what we first must discuss is, who is the world that is hating us? Who is the opposition of God that will throw persecutions our way as Jesus is warning his people? And we can see that it is anyone not of God. It's pretty simple when you lay it out on two sides, on two different teams. You've got the world of evil, and you've got God of love. And so anyone not of God is of the world. We see this in verse 19, that God's people were chosen out of the world. And so anyone out of the world and a part of God is not of the world, but anyone in the world is not of God. We can go back all the way to Cain and Abel as those first two teams were being set up, that Cain was out of the world for his actions, his hate towards his brother, and the murder that followed. But Abel was of God. If we turn to 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And so we see that hate is a structure of the world, so that those who hate are a part of the world, as Cain hated Abel. And John 7, Jesus' brothers are not fully yet understanding his purpose. I'll read from verse 2 through 7 in John chapter 7. Now the Jews' feast of booths was at hand, so his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers believed in him. Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil." So Jesus says that the world cannot hate his brothers because they are of the world. They did not yet believe that Jesus was the Messiah who was going to save them from sins and save their souls from damnation. They hadn't grasped that yet, so they were still part of the world. They were still part of the group that can hate. Back to 15, Jesus separated his apostles. He chose them out of the world. They were, meaning that they were in the world to begin with. They were had secular jobs. They were following different religion. But he chose them from their hearts out of the world so that they were no longer be doing those things but serving Jesus and being a part of God. And from what Dee read for us from John 17, we see that God separates his people from being of the world, though they are still in the world. In verse 6, Jesus says that God gave them the people out of the world so that they were his and no longer the world's. In verse 9, similarly, Jesus is praying for those that were taken out of the world for him. So we see that whoever has been given to God, separated from the world, is no longer a part of the world, but those who are still sinning against God with unrepentant hearts are still in the world. And also in verse 15, Jesus says to protect them from the evil one, as we know as Satan. And Satan is obviously a part of the world here. He is of the world. He is the father of the world in a sense. His lies and deception creep into everyone's heart. He was in all of our hearts at some points before we changed and let God into our hearts to repent and to follow God. But he still tries to deceive us. He still works his ways through people to get us to sin. And he does this in multiple ways, but the sin is still the same. It's just outlets that have changed that he works through as time has gone on. And so we've talked about who is the world, but a lot of the discussion today is being of the world, but what does that mean? Well, in Jesus' time, as he's warning his apostles, he's warning them of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the Jews, who were already persecuting Jesus for what he was teaching. And so he says, don't be surprised when they start persecuting you. I'm not going to be here forever, and when you continue on this word that I'm preaching, they're going to turn their hate towards you. And this advertisement that I saw kind of explains the evil one. It says marketing level expert. It's for a Bible lab. 0 stars, would not recommend. From Satan. That's Satan quoting it. So this is a funny way, but a serious way that Satan works today, is he works through different mediums to bring it, circle it around us, that we're always seeing the sin around us that tempts us. But we have to stay strong, and when we are hated against, we can't let that let us fall away. So why did the world hate Jesus? Because Jesus is of God. He is not in the world, as he states in verse 14 of chapter 17. And he states that part of the reason the world hates him is because they don't know God. Back in chapter 15, verse 21, the people had not come to see who Jesus was. And the reflection of that is that they didn't know God. They didn't know God's heart, and they didn't know what God wanted from them. And so they fooled themselves with traditions and laws that kept them from knowing the true purpose of God, or the true purpose for them. And his works and his words conflicted the world and showed its sin. From chapter 7, he explains to his brothers that the world hates him because he points out their sin, as well in verse 24 of chapter 15. And some of these teachings that Jesus has from the Gospel of John, oneness with the Father, they took this as blasphemy when Jesus was preaching about being one with God, of having the same mission of God, of being sent by God, being his son. And they took that as blasphemy. They didn't think about what they knew from the law, from the prophets, but they used hate to cast him out and to shut their hearts down. When he talked about eating of his flesh and drinking his blood, of being spirit and life, they didn't understand. They didn't comprehend what he was teaching, that we are supposed to be fully committed to Christ, that he is the only way to eternal life, and that we must be fully a part of his spirit to attain that eternal life through him. And he taught that they would die in their sins unless they believe that he is who he says he is, that he is the Redeemer. And 8:24, and after most of these teachings, they came after him with stones or some kind of way to kill him because they didn't like the teaching. They didn't understand it, and they didn't like it, so they wanted to kill him. They hated him because of what he taught. And as he quotes from Psalm 69, that the people hated him without a cause, in verse 25 of chapter 15. And in Psalm 69, it's describing the righteous Israelite who is being persecuted without a cause. And Jesus brings this back to him as a prophecy that the people around him, though he was completely righteous, he was perfect in all his deeds, because of what he taught, because of who he was, because they did not know God, they hated him without a cause. And from 1 John 3, verse 12, and we see those two sides of good and evil, Jesus' deeds are righteous like Abel's. He was here to please God, to do what is right in the eyes of God. And so because of that, the world on the opposite side hates him because God favors the ones who are righteous. So why does the world hate Christians? Now this one's a little bit more complex, I think, because of things that have happened in the world since Jesus' coming. And part of that is due to beliefs that have strayed from the Bible, that have corrupted hearts and honestly given some people a valid reason to hate worldly Christianity as a whole. There's some teachings that aren't taught with love of Christ, but are hateful, honestly, and not in a hateful way that we would say it's tough love or anything, but it's unscriptural hate and misunderstanding and false teaching, avenues which the devil has used. And so the world, and as I'm describing it as kind of just evil, has hated Christians for those reasons. But we know from Scripture that it hates the world, or hates Christians, because we are not of the world, but of God. It's back to those two sides again. If we're not a part of the world on this side, and we're on this side, then they're going to hate this side. That's how it happens. The world loves its own, as Jesus says in verse 19 of 15. The world, if you are a part of the world will love you. We'll get along great if you're acting the things of the world. If you're participating and practicing what the world is doing, they're not going to have a problem with you. But because we are not of the world, and because we practice things of God, they will hate us. They will also hate us because we are bound to Jesus. Just like the master is persecuted, so the servant will be. If we are connected to Jesus, if we are one with Jesus, we should expect the same hate that he got, the same persecutions. And we know from the apostles' history that most of them died brutal deaths just like Jesus. And disciples throughout history have been persecuted because they were bound to Jesus. We know that the world neither seeks truth or accepts it, but Christians are sanctified by it. In 17, verse 16 through 17, I'll read again. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. For their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. God's word sanctifies us in truth. It separates us from this side. It makes us holy because of the perfection of Jesus and our life that we can have through him. So the truth will set us free. It will separate us from the world. And because the world does not seek that truth, it hates those who are a part of it. And from 1 John 3, we must be like Abel. We must be like Jesus. We must be the righteous brother. And because of that, we will have conflict with the unrighteous. It's not that everyone who is a part of the world will hate us, but that it's to be expected that those who are righteous are going to be hated by those by some who are unrighteous. And we are hated also because of the light that Jesus is shining through us that exposes the darkness. Just like he was here teaching and showing his works to expose the darkness, to show people their sin, to get them to repent from it, our light from Jesus will do the same. And because of that, it will cause uncomfortable feelings that may turn into hate. And so we can't be surprised when that happens. So how do Christians live with being hated?
Don't be surprised.
Thanks, Luke. I wanted to do that, and you gave me the way. Jesus says to his apostles, don't be surprised. John says to them in 1 John 3, don't be surprised when the world hates you. We have to expect it because it is what we are choosing. Going back to Nathan's lesson last week, if we are fully committed to being disciples, we have to know what that means. We have to know that it's going to cause conflict in our daily lives here, that it's not going to make us agree with everyone, and that because of that disagreement, there's going to be conflict, there's going to be hurt feelings, and there's going to be obstacles to overcome. But we are to keep pressing to be of God. We have to heed the warning that Jesus gives to his apostles, to his disciples, and we cannot fall away. We have to remember his words. We have to remember his encouragement that it's not just us against the world, but that the world was against Jesus first. So if we are with Jesus, then we always will have him against the world. We have to be united with each other, with Christ and with God, so that the world may see that Christ came to save us, that God wanted to save us, and so that they will believe instead of hate. But all that comes from unification. If we're quarreling with others, if we're uncommitted to Christ and God, they're going to see the truth as lies. They won't believe in something that the people who claim it to be truth don't even believe in, that they show through their actions. We know from 1 John 3 that we aren't supposed to return hate for hate, but that we are supposed to love all. And from Romans 12:17, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. We are to be forgiving to others who give us this hate. If we are to expect it, then we should know how to forgive it, and we should be ready to forgive it, to teach and to encourage instead of bring down and conflict against and shut people down. We need to be the loving person that Jesus was to those who hated him. And also from Romans 12, we must overcome evil with good. And you can read all of Romans 12, mostly 9 through 21, to see how we can do this. That we are set apart from the world, so we cannot act like the world, otherwise they're going to love us, and that's not good. We need to overcome evil with what God has given us. And we can't be a people pleaser. We have to be a God pleaser. In Romans 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Like I said earlier, sin hasn't changed since it came into the world, but the outlets of sin have. And so it's on us and the word that God has given us to discern what is good and what is not. We have to constantly reflect on those new outlets that Satan presents before us, of discerning, is that going to please the world? Is it going to please people, or is it going to please God? Or will it displease God? When we make the decision to follow Jesus, we're separated, and there is no in-between. You can't dwell in the middle, choosing some things from the world, choosing some things from God. You can't even please both. You have to please God alone. So, from all of this, I'm not saying that we should try to be hated. Just like we don't want to be hated, trying to be hated might be even worse. But we can't be ashamed to own the Lord. We can't be ashamed to bear his name with confidence. The hate will come to oppose the Savior who came to save us from evil, to take us out of the evil one's power and give us to the Lord. The hate will come without us trying to get people to hate us. That's not what I'm saying here. But it is because that they hated Jesus first. And if we are following Jesus, then the world will hate us as well. So we all have a choice to be of the world or of God, and we will continue making those choices that follow in either direction. But if you have not yet made that choice to be of God, to repent from evil in your life, and to be baptized with living water, and let Christ change you into a new person to serve the Lord, you can make that choice now as we stand and sing.